Hey guys, so in the spirit of being authentic, one of the things that we're going to start doing is just recording more just regular conversations and using that as podcast material. There's no editing, anything like that. It's very raw. So for this episode, we're on the heels of the 4th of July. And so Chris and I take a second during a little lunch break and we just talk about freedom. But I want you guys to expect more episodes like these. Again, it really builds to the authenticity that we're trying to portray out there and just show that you can do any kind of podcast that you want. You don't need any of the crazy equipment or anything. You just have to have your phone and just a little bit of time and it can all be done. So give this one a listen. Let us know what you think. And again, we hope to be able to provide more content for you all. So thank you all for taking the time to listen and we'll talk to you later.
So what were your ideas about potential things to talk about today?
I don't know. So I was thinking if we were to go over, freedom.
If we wanted to, we can do that. Freedom's a good one.
I don't know what else.
Well, it coincides with the 4th.
Yeah.
And then also I think freedom is pretty much the meat and potatoes of, our end game with all of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's untethering yourself from all the stuff that's holding you back, facilitating extra free time,
all that stuff.
Guys, do you offer to decisions?
You go first, man. I'll pick on the fly real
quick. I'm going to do the schnitzel.
Okay.
No, he didn't leave you much time, did he?
No, it's good. The salad's pretty good size.
Yeah, and if you add, salmon or chicken or anything, it's, a full-size salad, in a large portion.
I'll do the Caesar salad, and can you add chicken to it, please?
Yeah. Cool. Grilled chicken Caesar?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, sounds
good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So what's your idea of freedom?
I don't know, because I feel like I don't know if it really exists, man.
Well, let's start with the concept of freedom as it is often, touted in the United States, America, worn around, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And lightweight is repetitious dogma.
Yeah.
It's something that's drilled into us. If you repeat it over and over again, people just assume that they've got all this...
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the catch-22, where there's all these mass criticisms of the state of affairs in the United States from either political end of the spectrum, but then there's simultaneously also a side that is implying that the United States is above reproach, that we're the greatest country in the world or not. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you're doing that at the macro level, that's one thing. But if you take it down to the micro level, one person is going to sit around and say stuff like, "I'm fucking fantastic. I'm great.
Yeah,
I do things like that." That's not a healthy perspective.
It's not. So
how can it be any more healthy for it to be on this huge, broad scale and be repeated and indoctrinated into us? It seems even more irresponsible.
I think the idea of freedom that we do have is somewhat irresponsible. But the one thing that I will say to give America credit and separate it from other countries is that, no, we're not the best damn nation in the world or whatever. I don't know what is, but
it's a highly subjective thing.
It's super subjective, but if they were to ever sort of rank these or something like that, I think that the nation that has the most potential to be that, if we wanted to, is America. That's the thing, and I think that's what I'm like. That's the part of the country that I like most is that, yeah, we're fucking up right now, but dude, we could be really, really good if we wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see that with a lot of other countries. And it's not maybe because I don't live there or something like that, but I study tons of history and it's like, damn, there's just, I don't know. I think that the amount of growth that has happened in the U.S. is a lot faster than what has happened in the rest of the world. And I attribute that to immigration. I attribute that to so many other things.
This amalgam, everything blending together and reciprocal
we're kind of stuff. To change, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
The melting pot, honestly. Yeah. The melting pot.
Super. Yeah.
As opposed to the whole, like, what is it, the soup theory? Like, everything goes into the mm-hmm. soup, but salad. Mm-hmm. It's a salad theory where everything's in the salad together, but they maintain their individuality entirely.
Yeah.
Whereas the melting pot, there's blending
and super big flavors
accentuate one another and things like that. Now, what do you feel like is America? And it's funny that you and I are sitting here saying America because that's a very American thing.
Yeah.
When you think about the United States, mm-hmm. what is our biggest asset? What is our, as a collective, what, from the rest of the world's perspective, what does the United States have to offer more than other people?
Well,
or other places, rather.
As far as the asset, I think that our greatest asset is also our greatest vulnerability and liability, right? And that is our mindset, just the American
culture.
Our culture is our biggest asset and biggest liability. And so it's really weird. We can tell the culture of a bunch of other places, but the culture in America, if you just look at something like California, that's many cultures in, like, California is like three different regions or three different states in one.
Oh yeah, right? Absolutely.
And I think there's a ton of different cultures within the U.S. there. And so for when I hear of the blanket American culture or something like that, it's real. I have a weird problem with it because I don't know if it truly exists, if that's the right thing. It's not that there is one set culture for the American culture. And I think that's what's cool about
it. And you know, something that really puts shit in perspective for me is traveling through Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And you are traveling in a geographic area smaller than the United States for the most part. Now, you know, I didn't go to Russia or anything like that. But the area I was traveling in, substantially smaller. Like, I would go from country to country, and it's the equivalent of us driving from Kentucky to, you know, northwestern Illinois.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. But when we drive to northwestern Illinois, mm-hmm. there's not the same difference as going from Germany to France.
Yeah.
We have this massive land area that is effectively unified by a common language, mm-hmm. and then the overreaching American culture. There's nothing like it on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, you have Australia, for example, but it's totally different infrastructure, mm-hmm. totally different population densities. Yeah, yeah. Everything is very mm-hmm. different. There's nothing like it on the planet because every other large land area, excluding Canada,
mm-hmm.
yeah, is pretty much broken up into countries with their very unique flavors and blends.
Yeah.
Whereas us, like, the meat and potatoes of what is America is somebody from the West Coast and somebody from the East Coast. They're not going to be that diametrically different.
Yeah.
Whereas when the German people that I was traveling with, mm-hmm. when we went to Holland, they were not feeling the German people that I was traveling with.
Yeah.
They showed me mad love. The Dutch loved the Americans, but the Germans, you know, and I think that's something, to a degree, you know, you talked about it being kind of a double-edged sword. To a degree, that's a unifying element. That's a strength that we do have.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the rest of the world, it's stifling because we can't tell you shit about other people's
country.
Yeah, people can't point out other countries on the map. They can't tell you what their flag is.
Yeah.
Or their language or anything, but America.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we could mitigate some of that half-assed belligerent self-confidence and direct it towards something, we absolutely have the horsepower to be. It's almost like kids or young adults or adults that people say, man, you've got so much potential,
mm-hmm.
and you just don't do anything
Yeah.
So, obviously, I always roundabout end up looking at it in terms of this is basically part of an equation to manipulate the population as a whole,
mm-hmm.
to keep us showing up for work, being good little worker ants, and making money for somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? You can't be you can't be completely 100% blindly nationalistic about your shit.
No, you can't.
One of the biggest parts of being a responsible citizen of not only the United States but the world in general is holding those that you hold in regard to a higher degree of scrutiny.
Way higher degree of
scrutiny. Than you do the opposing side. Mm-hmm. And I think some of us are pretty good about doing it. And again, I'm not going to say which side, which angle or whatever. I think some groups are way better at scrutinizing their own and them going up in flames, whereas there's this wild solidarity regardless of what transpires amongst other groups.
It's definitely, in some cases, it is kind of hard to explain the way that our nation is kind of set up, but like we both agree, I don't see another place that has the potential to be as good. And it's absolutely because we bring other people in.
You know what America is right now?
What is it?
You know the captain of the football team that was dope as hell in high school?
Oh, yeah.
And now he works at the car wash?
Yeah, he's at the car wash.
That's America right now.
Yeah. And thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Quick. Anything else I can get for you guys?
Can I get some Parmesan to throw on this? Do you guys have any?
Let me double check.
No, if it's a problem, don't sweat.
I'm not sure.
It's whites only Parmesan.
I know. I was about to be like, let me get some black peppers and start seasoning this shit before I even eat it, dude. That's a problem of mine. She's just like, this asshole in the front is wanting to change what you made, chef. Or, like, let me get some hot sauce. But
you got Tapatio, baby.
Man, I put that on everything.
But yeah. The United States is the douchebag dude that was the captain of the football team in high school that now he works as a car wash and shows up at high school parties even though he's 29 years old.
I hate so many of those people.
I don't know.
So many. So how do you...
Any shaved Parmesan?
No, that's perfect. Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. If you could map out a plan for how we can be better, what would you say? What would you say would be like? I know it's funny because on all the different podcasts we do, I feel like we're always like we're starting this trend of making what are some steps?
We are. Well, but it is. It makes a little bit of sense in a world that really reality is utter chaos. Mm-hmm. You create your own reality. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we're just kind of trying to provide a framework for people to hold on to something tangible. So. Again, what was your question? If I were to lay
find
out...
A plan to sort of make us better or make us the best nation.
First of all, we need to throw nationalism out the window. We need to stop this this idea that this founding fathers shit.
Yeah.
Show credit where it's due, but these are imperfect dudes in a brutal time. And... these cats own slaves, and they get passes by a lot of people that are tout the Declaration of Independence and stuff. They get passes on the basis of, well, they're a product of their time. Well, then the motherfucking Declaration of Independence is a product of its time as well. So
the Constitution is a product of its time.
As we advance as a species, like, and I'm not saying erase culture. I'm not saying erase your history. Upgrade that shit, man. Upgrade it. Use it as a milestone. Again, when I spent time in Germany, that country has made every attempt to erase the.
It's
history.
Yeah, and it's. Do you wonder if that is genuine? When it's like, okay, yes, just, you know, 60 years ago, more than 60 years ago, we were trying to kill, you know, everyone that didn't look like us. Do you think that a lot of it is, like, kind of forced? Like, them being genuine and accepting and all the other kind of stuff?
Well, one of the things is that a lot of people that were involved, very deeply involved with that shit, you know, you had the Nuremberg trials. Then you had a lot of people that set up shop in other countries.
Yeah.
Fucking Indonesia, Argentina. There's a lot of stuff that happened where individuals that were enormous parts of that entire thing no longer remain in that locality.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is great, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
but those people have evacuated. And then in keeping with the whole, what is it, the rubber band theory, mm-hmm. where social pressures will build up, and then they'll eventually, the elasticity yeah. will snap it back the other direction. Well, Germany was very incredibly nationalistic, mm-hmm. Christian-based. Mm-hmm. Now they are more humanistic, mm-hmm. secular.
Yeah.
They're probably the number one, as far as the EU is concerned, Germany's
pretty high up there
as far as humanitarian effort. Mm-hmm. They take in a lot of refugees.
Yeah, yeah.
Which there's clapback with that, yeah, yeah. with folks in Germany being mm-hmm. nationalistic still. But I think just as individuals, we have to take ownership of all the fucked up shit we've done yeah. and our imperfections. As responsible citizens of our country, if we yeah. want us to move forward, we have to take responsibility for all that shit.
Yeah.
Even things like slavery, like, yes, you're part of a long line of poor white people that maybe did not own slaves mm-hmm. or anything like that, but saying, well, I didn't do it.
I actually was talking to someone about that.
And that happened all that time ago, and my ancestors didn't own slaves. But you got, if you look deeper into it, what we're trying to do here is undo the multi-generational effects mm-hmm. of 600 years.
Yeah, 600 years, yes.
And this is ingrained in people's fucking genetics, mm-hmm. even. It's, things were forced upon these folks. Mm-hmm. We live in a Eurocentric society. Genetic predisposition, you know, I feel like I'm ill-fitted to live in this Eurocentric yeah. society. Yeah. So I can only imagine how it is if you were subjugated and part of a group of individuals for 600 fucking years. Mm-hmm. Essentially, and it sounds absolutely horrible, but essentially we're bred. Human yeah. beings were bred by other human beings.
Absolutely.
And then now you think, okay, you're cut loose and you're free. I mean, no, you're basically yeah. undoing the multi-generational effects of what amounts to institutionalization, mm-hmm. poverty,
yeah.
subjugation, mm-hmm. everything. It's not a level playing field. Even the poorest whites weren't subject to that mm-hmm. type of shit.
Yeah.
So, and that's just an example. We're mm-hmm. we're not going down that path to harp on that in particular, mm-hmm. but we have to take ownership of our dark past. Mm-hmm. We can't just...
I'd say that's definitely one key to getting towards freedom, is acknowledging your past, whether or not, you know, it's good or bad or something like that.
Yeah.
Especially in our American culture.
And you're allowed to forgive yourself mm-hmm. while acknowledging.
Yeah, while acknowledging.
At the same time. And it's not like we're expecting people to manifest white guilt. Yeah. That's not... Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck about that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't either. No. It's not productive.
It's not productive.
And honestly, some of the super lefty people that are hyper-diligent and get offended on the mm-hmm. part of people of color are more annoying to me than the mildly racist people. You know what I'm saying?
That's absolutely true. I'm seeing that happen a lot on my social media. It's like, damn, you are getting real annoying with all this stuff. You know, we're out here just trying to make it right now. You know, like, I get it. I get being the cheerleader, and I get doing all this stuff. But, damn, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of what a lot of people are kind of posting, but it is
the social justice warrior shit.
Yeah, yeah, and then everyone on the other side too. But ultimately, you control your social media experience, and you know, for better or worse, I still will read, and maybe we'll still engage or something right. like that. But that's just how it is. But as far as just, you know, with it being the 4th, what does 4th of July mean to you?
Well, I'm a Jehovah Witness, bro. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's ingrained in you as a Jehovah's Witness is to not be nationalistic at all. Yeah.
So how are 4th of July for you guys? No barbecues and shit?
Actually, we did, because Earl Kilborn was King Pimp OG, mm-hmm. elder Jehovah Witness, and he ran things a little bit different than mm-hmm. convention. Like, my dad was very involved in local politics, mm-hmm. like the Rotary Club, high-level ranking state official. Was very involved, and it kind of went against the entire ethos of being a Jehovah's Witness, and I felt like some of the other, I don't want to call them, I guess elders or whatever, resented him for being King Ding-a-ling and doing it that way. But my father bent the rules, and we would have a 4th of July party, but we gave zero fucks about celebrating the independence of the United States, because as a child, I grew up with a father that would watch Westerns and root for the American Indians and Westerns. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a father that made sure that I put other on all of my forms that I filled out instead of, you know, white.
Black, whatever.
Yeah, other every time. My father's was always, I was taught to have pride in something independent of some social group associated type of deal.
Yeah.
4th of July to me was about family getting together and detonating fireworks and me sneaking and drinking wine coolers when I was way too young to be drinking wine coolers.
Funny.
So it was just kind of an outlet for some buck wild mountain gypsy bullshit, really. But, you know, I never stood for the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. I was taught not to. Mm-hmm. And if anybody fucked with me, I would get
Okay?
We
yes,
are.
Ma'am. Thank you so much.
But if anybody fucked with me, I was fully prepared to tell them to kiss my ass, too. Yeah. But every single day when the rest of the class would stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd just sit there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And you know what? Nowadays, like, whenever the... You know, they play the national anthem or the pledge. I will stand out of respect to the people around me. And this is entirely unrelated to the protest thing, because I'm all the way down with that shit. Yeah. Take a knee, by all means. Mm-hmm. But I will stand. Hell, I'll bow my head slightly during prayers and stuff. But that is out of respect to the other individuals that are there. It's not any other fucking reason. But... Yeah, the 4th doesn't really mean shit to me, but freedom means everything. And I really, growing up in kind of a racially ambiguous, weird religious background, I really, all these old dead slave owning white dudes didn't really mean shit to me. It didn't feel like the 4th of July, just didn't feel like a celebration for me and mine.
Yeah.
And the people around me, it didn't.
It was never a big thing for me either. The only thing I really liked about it is that, A, I love history, and I like war history, and that seems to be the time when they show, like, all the cool shit, you know what I mean? Like, the, you know, June 6th, obviously, there's going to be Saving Private Ryan for D-Day and all that kind of stuff. And there's, you know, 4th of July, they're going to show, what's that movie with Mel Gibson, The Patriot?
Yeah.
You know, it's just shit like that. Or they may even show Independence Day with Will Smith, you know what I mean? But it's like... It was never anything too big or crazy or anything, but that doesn't mean that I don't have pride for America, you know, for America. I think again, I have a different mindset of America and the 4th, just because we all have way different visions of what independence and what the 4th, all that kind of stuff means, and I don't think you can get that anywhere else, you know? I think most people have probably forgotten about the stuff that was going on with the British and all that kind of stuff. You can ask probably some kids and they may not really know what it is. They just, like you, say, hey, this is where we shoot off fireworks and everyone grills out and has a good time. And I think that the 4th itself will, over time, carry a different meaning. And it's just going to be another party thing. It'll end up being kind of a way like Labor Day is, a memorial, where unless you're in, like, the military or something like that, it's just going to be a day off for you, you know?
Well, and honestly, that would be the ideal scenario for me, because I feel like, again, arbitrary, having pride, we'll say, having faith and love for your nation... Mm-hmm. Because you have a vested interest in it, and you do appreciate a lot of the elements of it. A move towards what you're talking about, in my opinion, is the ideal, because as it stands right now, it is by and large a tool to reinforce arbitrary nationalistic ideals.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous fucking thing.
Yeah.
Somebody said something really interesting to me, and trying to make this as devoid of politics as possible, but whenever you engage somebody that is talking about MAGA, Make America Great Again.
I think that's hilarious.
If you flip the script, you'd be like, the fuck you mean America isn't great?
Yeah,
America's exactly. The greatest country on goddamn earth. If you don't like it, you should get the fuck out.
It's like, wait a minute, is America not great?
And they're like, and they short circuit, dude. They don't know what to do.
I know it.
The cognitive dissonance is strong, mm-hmm. But
America's never been greater.
Oh, I
it
know.
It doesn't fucking matter who the president is. We're the one nation, honestly, that even with all this stuff going on, I don't think we're moving backwards, right?
No.
I think that a lot of shit is just getting brought to light. That's all.
No. The thing is that we can't think about time and progress as linear. It's more three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. It's a spatial thing.
It's on a matrix. Yes. It's also on a scatter plot.
Oh, yeah.
You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we are still way higher, you know, as far when you draw that line of regression on that scatter plot, there is a positive as hell line of regression. There's going to be the dots that go up and down or something like that, but we're not moving backwards. We are absolutely not moving backwards. And the one thing that unifies this country, it sucks, but it's fucking war. That's the one thing that gets everyone.
And we do it well, too, man.
We do it very well because some of the greatest developments happened when we were scared of some shit. Also, like NASA, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have been there if we weren't scared that the Russians were going to put a base on the moon or something, you know? And when we saw them putting stuff up, we were like, no, we can do better, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so we did.
And that's part of the problem now.
Yeah.
Is, and you've talked about it. Mm-hmm. You may have talked about it in the first podcast, mm-hmm. but, like, this generation doesn't have a big...
Yeah. No threat. No
a threat. Big threat. Mm-hmm. Like, the most of them that are presented mm-hmm. are... In my opinion, manufactured as divisive elements to keep
it's
the
it's
separation.
It's threats to our comfort. That's what it is. Not threats to our existence. Threats to our comfort.
Oh, yeah. Arbitrary stuff that keeps us... And honestly, threats to our comfort and pacification keep us all disjointed. And you know what? It's so bizarre. Like, honestly, since I moved into my new house, I've been on social media less. Mm-hmm. I'm by myself more, and I'm on social media less. Mm-hmm. It's almost like social media is a tool for avoiding social interaction.
And the funny thing, since we started the Salumis, I'm on my personal account way less. It just doesn't seem that important anymore, you know? I'll put the occasional bullshit meme or something like that. But now that we have started... Hey, thank you so much.
Are you guys going to be together or separate?
Separate. Thank you. I have been... Because I think that what we're doing is so much bigger than me, I want to give it way more attention than I do my personal one. I don't care about my personal account that much anymore.
Well, and you're busy living it instead of fucking
exactly
talking about it.
Exactly.
Well, and we talked about that in the last podcast, mm-hmm. is that I really feel like us doing this has helped me hold myself accountable.
Dude, it has helped me tremendously. Tremendously.
Well, and you know, what was it? Our fourth point mm-hmm. Day before yesterday mm-hmm. when we recorded, our fourth point was share. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah.
So by sharing, by diffusing this, mm-hmm. dude, you get energy from that. You mm-hmm. learn more about yourself by teaching others. And when you provide momentum to someone else, it we're not bound by the laws of physics when you talk about facilitation and interpersonal interaction. When you facilitate somebody, dude, it drags you. You get drug along with them.
Absolutely, you do. Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, there are exceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be reckless with shit mm-hmm. and just let yourself go up in flames for the sake of somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
maybe there's certain, you know, rushing into a burning building to save some kids or some shit like that.
Here,
awesome.
Take
awesome.
Your time
Thank
rush.
You so
Thank
much.
You.
You're welcome.
But, you asked the question many, many, many moments ago, and I barely even fucking answered it. I just kind of went on a little tirade. But I feel like the direction this country needs to go, if we're going to make progress, and we got to stop listening to all these dumbasses with the loudest voices, mm-hmm. because oftentimes it's insecure, dumbass douchebags that feel entitled, like that their opinion trumps quantifiable fact.
Yeah.
If you look at statistics alone, we really need to invest more money into education.
Absolutely.
Infrastructure. Obviously, taxes on the wealthy, because that will facilitate more small business growth. And it's unfortunate.
You know, did you see that when they were talking about how they had the, you know, the huge tax breaks and all this kind of stuff for these top companies, and everyone thought that they were going to spend it on wages. You know, they instead spent it on like other shit that was just not wages. I couldn't remember exactly what it is that they spent their money on, but I'll have to find that little part there. But it was something like everyone thought that when these businesses started making more money, they would pay their employees more. That's not what happened.
That's not human nature.
Yeah.
No. And that's what self-preservation and preservation of those around you trumps everything. And let's be honest, Kalu. If it comes down to me and mine against everybody else, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wouldn't I hit the red button on all the rest of these motherfuckers to save me and mine.
Yeah. It's like at the airplane when they go through the pre-flight thing majig, and they're just like, hey, if we lose pressure and you have these oxygen masks drop down, you think I'm going to go and put one on everyone else's first?
Hell no.
No, I'm going to put that shit on my face first.
Well, and then there's the whole, like, paradox of... And I forgot where I heard it. It's kind of similar to the train, like, careening down, and it either kills one person or multiple people. I forget exactly what the analogy is.
I remember hearing something like that.
But another one I heard is, okay, someone you know, and loved one, friend, whatever, either gets killed or you hit a button and you kill 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 random people that you don't know. I'm smashing the hell out of the button for all the other people, and I'm just being real. And I like to think that I'm a pretty virtuous dude, pretty selfless. I'm just trying to be very honest with myself about this. Me and mine's takes precedent. But I have to look at the greater good. So if I feel this way, you got to think about these people that are in a ruling class position and have been in a ruling class position. They want to maintain that. They want to maintain that power and authority and capital. They have no incentive whatsoever of improving the conditions of the workers. Keep them pacified, docile, showing up to work, pay them just enough that they don't quit.
But this is why people live for Black Friday sales.
Oh, my God, I hate Black Friday, dog.
That's America's fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how... They say that a huge chunk of retail survives off of Black Friday, you know? And so it's these large companies doing this kind of stuff. I feel like everyone's kind of, I don't want to wear a tinfoil hat, but it's some damn good strategy to just be like, hey, this is that time where all these prices are going to be low. And they slash these prices, but what you don't know, and I learned this by working in an electronics store, is that the major companies, they just give you their shit-tier stuff and just, like, give it at a really low price, you know what I'm saying? It'll be missing certain features of the actual real
like
thing.
Clearing out inventory so they have more room for, like, something better.
Yeah, but people live for that shit. I think
I hate it.
That's like a super... That's American as fuck.
It's all the fucking proletariat.
Yes.
And the... what is it? Is it the bourgeoisie and the proletariat?
Yeah, bourgeoisie is just above the proletariat.
So the proletariat is all fighting for fucking scraps.
Yeah.
And it's lightweight hilarious while the bourgeoisie's sitting comfortable with their beach house. Like,
on Amazon, just like...
Yeah, like, I can get this something nicer than this anytime that I want it. Yeah. But that very much underscores it. And I know I always go back to joking about being a Marxist, but the idea of seizing the means of production is intrinsic to, in my opinion, maintaining the American dream. Because otherwise you end up with monopolies of these faceless companies. If we want to grow small businesses, we got to take power away from these big corporations that are not inherently American. They're larger than America. They're global as fuck. So we're entrusting enormous...
Thank you for clarifying that by saying that they're not American, but also saying that they are not some other country. Like, these companies, when they start talking money and the billions and stuff like that, you transcend the nation that you originate from.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You literally have more money than countries.
You know what I'm saying? And then, so it's like, and then everybody else becomes lightweight, becomes cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the damn truth. And I know, you know.
But that's a joy and the bitch of business in America.
It is, and you know. And it's awfully interesting to me that so little gets invested into education funding.
Sure, sure.
Because you know what? Poorly educated people are way easier to manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
They're way more insecure about their intellects.
Yeah.
And then you also gas them up at the same time.
Absolutely.
On this, like, euphoric, well, I might be poor and I might work my dick in the dirt, but yeah, but at least I'm an American and I'm free.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But it's incredibly irresponsible. We all have to take very close looks at ourselves, but we have to do... I am. Thank you. We have to take... Just like we have to take really close looks at ourselves, and I think even more people would agree to that sentiment than how much we have to scrutinize our own nation. And you know what? It's incredibly... And even though I'm not like, hell yeah, founding fathers... I do believe that those individuals did not create that to be written in fucking stone.
No.
I think that is the most un-American thing in the world.
I think that's shit that they were running away from.
That is exactly what they were running
away
from.
They were like, we didn't want this.
The constraints
that was happening
of,
in Britain.
The constraints of some arbitrary dogma that is being held on to.
Yeah.
And it served its purpose, but the framework... eventually needs some updates, and this isn't, we're not talking about anything specific, we just want people to look at it in terms of it's not the word of Jehovah, man.
Yeah.
This stuff didn't just come down from a lightning bolt from heaven and then it's like y'all abide by this or else. If we were to be on the outside looking in, or we were looking at any other country and saw something similar, we'd be like, fucking savages. Yeah. I can't believe they do shit like
that.
And it's also
what
hilarious.
Resources do you have? We might take that shit from you.
And it's goddamn hilarious. A friend, I say loosely friend, a gym acquaintance that I have, he's from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a funny bird. He's a friend of mine, but he's kind of wry and belligerent and stuff. He's a rowdy sort of dude. But somebody pissed him off in the gym, and he was like, oh, in my country, like they took his machine more than once. He was like, in my country, we string you up and we'll hit you across the back with a stick. We need to do that. Yeah. And it clicked, dog. Yeah. And I was like, you sound just like these rednecks.
You sound like the rednecks, yeah.
You're like, if we had public executions, more people do this. It's absolutely hilarious that some of these hardcore, belligerent, super duper, and I'm going to say it, right-wing cats have so much in common with these super-duper...
quote, air quotes, savages, because I've heard one that has said, we need to start having labor camps. I was just like, what
the fuck, man? It's slave labor, man.
That's America.
And then
they did it in North Korea, and I was just like...
Okay.
What?
We got to invest in education.
Yeah.
We got to end the war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to end for-profit prisons.
Yes.
And we need to hold the upper tax bracket of individuals' feet to the fire. And you know what? It's going to sting at first.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fight and kick and scream and make it seem like we're cutting our own throats.
Yeah.
But eventually, it's like cutting down a big tree. Mm-hmm. It allows lots of smaller...
Yeah, it allows small trees to grow.
To grow otherwise that would have been shaded and not gotten enough sunlight. Mm-hmm. Got to cut some of them big-ass trees down, man.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying take away their money or anything.
They
were smart because they got there. But it's like, if we were to... I think everything falls on education, right?
Yes.
And it needs to be changing the style of teaching and changing the style of learning, right? I don't know if that's just going to come from paying teachers more or something like that, because if you weren't motivated to that shit, like, you should have known when you first came in that you weren't going to make a whole lot of money, right? So if they change the way that the system itself works in education, then I think that you could really inspire more students to do really awesome things. If there were more programs where it was teaching people, like, real shit, the majority of people don't know calculus. or don't use it.
Right.
I took it, don't use
it. You know? Statistics in high school would have been way more utilitarian.
Yeah, all day, yeah. But I think that people, a lot of kids can, especially if you start understanding kind of what stuff that you want to do, and I feel like I'm teetering on the magnet school kind of thing, you know? I hate that, you know, used to be like, okay, that might be a good idea, but now I'm like, no, this is terrible. But if we were to radically change the education system, and I don't have the plan for how to make that work, right? But I still believe that we need to evaluate it hardcore and then put students in a place where it's like, if you want to learn freely, go for it and do that. I also think that the teachers need to find new ways. Check online. The internet is the best teacher. If we were teaching people how to manipulate the internet, dude, people would be doing some crazy, crazy shit, right? Teaching kids to code, all that kind of stuff. I think that would be great. Business sense.
Bro, it's the dark ages all over again. It is the fucking dark ages because, you know, essentially the basis for the dark ages was that only a few select individuals in higher, like, gentry-type positions even knew how to read.
Yeah.
So they would take... The Bible was the overreaching kind of manifesto.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah, so essentially whoever was able to read held all the power and could manipulate the populace thusly. It's like that now when it comes to understanding and being a discerning consumer of information and then putting that to use. Now, you can be a discerning consumer of information and be a lazy, apathetic bitch at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've talked about that. I've gone on little tirades as well. Anything, any negative energy that you hold, anything like that, short of apathy, can be tamed, trained, and utilized as fuel for something else.
People can be dangerous when you train and utilize that kind of stuff. Golly.
Mastering yourself.
That's the key.
And that's the closest thing that I could come to. If somebody said, what's the meaning of life?
It's
mastering yourself.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. No problem. Appreciate have a good rest of your day.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hey, that was probably a good time to wrap it up. That was a damn good session. Brandon's going to be happy with not having to edit this because I'm totally just going to upload it later on today and not even say anything. So, thank you guys for tuning in. We got, what was it, 40 minutes?
That's a good time. Goddamn.
That was good. Didn't even feel like it.
Thank you all for listening to us.
Yeah.
You know, we were getting our grub on.
What's this place called? Gerard's
Tavern? Oh, yeah. We're down here at Gerard's Tavern. And you know what? It's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm a picky bitch when it comes to quality food. The Wiener Schnitzel was on point and presented well.
Yep. My Caesar salad was really good. So thank you guys so much for jumping in. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.